You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from student pastor Josh Barnett.
I'm excited about being back in person, not preaching to a screen. I'm super pumped about gathering together again. But even if you're on our live stream this morning, man, I'm just so glad, so blessed what the Lord is doing in our hearts and in our church this season. Oh, there's just something about being in the presence of someone, right? Like, you know, text messaging is awesome. Phone calls are awesome. You know, so cool the time we live in. FaceTime is awesome. Like so neat that you can instantly talk, see someone's face. I use an app called Marco Polo all the time. But you can see somebody's face that is, man, just across the world and just instantaneously talk back to them. That's such a neat time that we live in, but it's just different when you're in the presence of somebody. There's still that wall of distance there where you know that they're not with you. And so it's just awesome to be in the room with somebody, like where you can actually hear their voice, not through a phone, but actually coming into your ear from their mouth and, you know, being able to touch them and hug them cry, laugh, hold, whatever, you know. And you know, this sounds weird, but the smell of people, you know, people have a smell, right? Like, you know, everybody's mom, like my mom wore that White Diamonds or whatever it was. Everybody's mom wears that perfume, right? And your mom just has a smell. Different people's houses has a smell, right? I've been told my house smells like pancakes and syrup. So maybe that's the Barnett smell. It smells like pancakes and syrup. I think that's a good smell. I like that smell. But it's awesome to be back in the same room. And I think it's easy just because we live in a time where we are used to having distance relationships, you know, where people are far away that we keep in contact with, that we, you know, it can be easy to have even a friend in town to have a relationship with them just through FaceTime, just through text, just through whatever. And even through Facebook, we think we know people. We don't really know people. We just think we know them because we keep up with their life on whatever. And I think we've created almost like a fake type of intimacy. But I think sometimes that leaven can seep into our relationship with the Lord, where we're not actively pursuing, you know, Him on our own. And I think sometimes, you know, somewhere along the way, sometimes the church forgets how close God actually is. I think sometimes we forget that His very presence is in this room today. That where Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm among them. We've got a lot more than two or three here. So we're like, Jesus is here in this room with us today. And I think we forget sometimes that His very presence is in our hearts, in our bodies, that we are temples. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is we're temples. We're temples. I think Tim has so just been building and set this up. And as the Lord kind of laid this on my heart, it's like, man, I feel like this goes right along with what He's talked about the last 3 weeks. That, you know, our drive-in church, he talked about the God of the impossible. Our first Sunday back in here, he talked about you got to be fueled. You got to keep fueled. You got to stay fueled up about pursuing the Lord in prayer and seeking that relationship with Him, because He fills you up. And then last week, his sermon was incredible, called Not In Me, and not letting fear and anxiety and depression take root in me. Like, that's not coming in my house. That's not coming in my heart. That's not coming in my mind. And as I began to pray about and think about what the Lord wanted to talk about this morning, I felt like this just builds on, just keeps going right along that same vein. So I want to talk about that this morning. From the very beginning, even in creation, the very beginning of time, when we see God put Adam and Eve in the garden, He wanted to be close to them. He desired to have a close relationship with His creation. It says that He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden, in the cool of the day. And they had this perfect communion, this perfect relationship. Actually, I think it's really interesting. The Hebrew word for Eden means delight. And so Adam and Eve were placed in the garden of delight. And we have perfection here in Genesis 1 and 2, where you have God delighting in His creation and creation delighting in their God. And even when they blew it, the first thing that God does is, I'm coming back for you. I'm going to come after you. I'm going to come get you. And even through Scripture, you see God maintain relationship with somebody. He maintained a closeness with somebody. You know, next, the main figure we go into is Noah. But before that, there's a short passage in there about a guy named Enoch. Man, that's a cool story. That guy was so close to God that he didn't even die, that God was just like, I'm just going to rapture you away. I'm just going to take you away with me. He didn't die. He just got translated into heaven. That's awesome. Go chew on that story for a while. And then you've got Noah, and then from Noah you get to Moses, or you see Abraham, and then Moses, and all these guys were called friends of God. And one of my favorite verses about Moses is he was a friend of the Lord, and he was so close to God, when he died, it says, and the Lord buried him. That's cool. The Lord personally came, took Moses away, and buried him. That's how much he loved Moses. That's how close he was to Moses. But under Moses, the Lord established the tent of meeting. They had the tent of meeting. The whole reason he wanted the Israelites to come out of Egypt, out of slavery, was so they can come in the wilderness and worship me. So they can come in the wilderness and I can live among them. And so they sets up the tent of meeting, and the presence of the Lord would fill this tent. And what's amazing is that all of Israel was invited, but only two men went in. All of Israel was welcome to come into the tent of meeting, but only Moses and Joshua were the ones that would go in. It's crazy. And so after the tent of meeting, they set up the tabernacle where the very presence of God could dwell among the people. And then you've got the Ark of the Covenant that gets placed in the Holy of Holies at the tabernacle all the way through David. And then you've got Solomon builds the temple, right? And you want to read some crazy amount of details, go read all the details about how they built the tabernacle and then how they built the temple. Like detail after detail after detail after. It's a real snooze fest, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie. It's a, you have favorite parts about the Bible. I don't think anybody's favorite part is tabernacle or temple. That's what I'm going to read today. That's what I want to go study right now. But the temple was so immaculate, like gold everywhere. They say that if you built the temple nowadays, it would cost upwards of $10 billion to build. Woo! All right, that makes our houses seem a lot cheaper than what they are. Yeah, that's whew. But even in the temple, you have the Ark of the Covenant. Really cool story when Solomon dedicates the temple and the presence of God comes and dwells in the Holy of Holies in the Ark of the Covenant. But all of that didn't solve the sin issue. And so there was still this distance, right? God could only get close to one man. He could only get close to the high priest that would have to go underneath the veil to be in the presence of the Lord. And God wanted to be close to everyone. And so you have a bunch of Old Testament prophets who are pointing forwards to something better's coming. Something better's coming. The Messiah's coming. Hope is coming. There's going to be a new covenant. It's going to be incredible. It's going to last forever. God is going to be so close to us. And it didn't really turn out the way they thought it would, but Jesus came. Right? God sent his son, who was a new kind of temple, who was a new kind of priest. How many times did Jesus call his own body a temple? And then he began to proclaim that the kingdom of God is within you. And he began to set up a way where we could become a holy of holies. Like not by anything that we did, but his life, death, and resurrection. That we get baptized in the blood of Jesus that he poured out on the cross, so that we receive his righteousness, not by anything that we earned, that he freely laid down his life so that we could have his righteousness, so that the Holy Spirit could come and dwell inside of us. Woo, that's good news. That's that's the gospel. Jesus, Tim mentioned this last week, John 16:7. Jesus told his disciples, it's to your advantage that I go. Because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. And because God didn't just want to dwell with us, he wanted to dwell in us. You know, Jesus was a physical man. He became human. So he could only walk with like a few people, right? He had his 12 homies and then like the three inner circle, right? He had his posse that he rolled around with, but he could only walk with a certain amount of people, but he wanted to be with everybody. That's how much he loves us and desires his creation. Is that God himself laid down his own life so that he could dwell inside of us. And we are now temples of the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, if you're saved, if you're following Jesus, if he's the Lord of your life, guess what? Holy Spirit lives right here. Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And I want this message to build your faith this morning to realize that you have God himself inside of you. 1 Corinthians 6 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your body? 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. And he's quoting, that's Leviticus that he's quoting, pointing all the way ahead to now of I will live in them. Not just with them, but in them. And I want you to know this morning, this didn't change when the apostles died. Like when we got scripture, we got it canonized, it wasn't like, all right, Holy Spirit was like, all right, I gave you my word, I'm out. Like I'm going back to heaven, good luck. That didn't happen. That's not you don't find that anywhere in scripture. The Holy Spirit is still in here. We serve a God that still moves. He's never stopped. He doesn't change. God doesn't move in dispensations of power. We are inconsistent. It's not him, it's us. We are the inconsistent ones, not us. And maybe we stop seeing God move whenever we become dependent on ourselves. Maybe we stop seeing God moved when the church begin to center around personality rather than presence. Maybe we stop seeing God move when we are more focused on entertaining the masses rather than equipping the disciples. That's where the church loses her power and her authority. We are the church. The body, not this. You can say this building is the church. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I'm going to church this morning. That's totally fine. That's common lingo that we use to describe where we are Christian Ministries Church. That's what this body identifies themselves as. But you and I are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the temple. You are his temple. You are the house of God. And I think it's time for us, the house of God, the people, to get convinced of who they really are. To be convinced that they have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. The Greek word in the New Testament used for the church is ekklesia. And church doesn't really do that word a great justice, because ekklesia is a governing body of people that walk in power and authority. That's what we are. That's what you are. Not me, because I'm a pastor standing up here preaching. That's what you are. You are you can walk in power and authority. You are ekklesia. And we have the power to bind hell and to loose heaven. We just have to believe it. We're not going to be able to do it if we're not convinced of it. We have to believe that. It's time for the church to become the answer. It's time for the church to become essential. And many times the reason the world wants nothing to do with the church is because we spew just self-help jargon like the world does. Right? This book right here is not about winning friends and influencing people. That's okay. There's great books on that. And you can read that and it can help you. Awesome. Yeah, you know, some of you just need to be more friendly. That's basically what that book is saying. You just need to be friendly, right? Well, I don't have any friends. It's probably because you're not friendly. I don't know what to tell you. So, but I think Proverbs says that actually. This book is a sword. It's a double-edged sword. And you know what it was meant to do? Kill you. It's meant to kill you and then bring resurrection life to your body. That's what this word is. It's like, Josh Barnett, no, stop acting like you and start acting like me. I want to walk in resurrection power. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see the dead raised. I want people to encounter Jesus and become completely transformed when they encounter me, because he's just so, this is a gross word, oozing out of me, that he's just coming out everywhere. God wants to use his temples. The Holy Spirit wants to use us. I don't know why. Man, I look at myself like, Lord, why me? But the Holy Spirit wants to use us to reach the lost, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. But we're never going to do that if we don't believe that it is possible. This is something we got to become completely convinced of. Now, a lot of times, I hear some preaching advice. And I hear a lot of people say, like, you got to be able to wrap your sermon up in one sentence. Like, you got to be able to give the vision or the theme of it in one sentence. That's fine. That's great. I don't necessarily agree with that all the time, but, you know, wrap it up in one sentence. So here's my one sentence for you this morning. You ready? Whole point. This is all I had to say, and then y'all could go home. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Romans 8:11. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of me and quickens my mortal body, brings life to my mortal body. I just want to talk about the Spirit that's inside of us. This Spirit that lives in us, that lives in us, is the same Spirit that struck people dead in the Old Testament. I think about a story where David is carrying the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, not in the right way. He's not doing it the right way. He puts it on a cart and begins to take it. He doesn't carry the presence of the Lord like he's supposed to carry it. That'll preach. The ox stumbles. Uzziah reaches out to steady it. It says the Lord's anger burned against him and struck him dead. Yeesh. He knew better. David knew better. That's the Spirit that lives inside of you. I just want you to feel the weight of that, the fear of the Lord on that, that that's the same Spirit that lives in you. It's the same Spirit that we see in Genesis 1 that hovered over the waters and waited for God to speak. And whenever the Father spoke, it was the Holy Spirit that put it into action. When God said, "Let there be light," I want you to understand that Spirit that lives inside of you is not a little light. Not a little light. My kids aren't allowed to sing that song. It's a little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. He's not little. And my kids don't get a junior Holy Spirit. The same one. The same one that's in me. But when God said, "Let there be light," an explosion happened of millions of stars and galaxy all at one time. The Big Bang. God said it and bang, it happened. Let there be light. I grew up hearing my mama say that all the time. The wind that blew the waters of the Red Sea open. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The dove that landed on Jesus whenever he was baptized. It said that the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ as a dove and it remained. It stayed on him. Jesus became human. He emptied himself, is what Philippians 2 says. He emptied himself of his divinity. He emptied himself. He became completely human like us. He was all God and all man, but he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. Every miracle that Jesus performed, power of the Holy Spirit was there. Power of the Holy Spirit. And then when he died and was put in a tomb, the Spirit that raised him from the dead, that's the Spirit that lives in you and I. Man. So why are we afraid of a dumb virus? I don't want to shame anybody. I just want to build your faith. I just want to build your faith. What lives in you is the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He's way stronger than any virus or any sickness in this whole world. He's way stronger than any persecution. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all feel familiar? Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael are their Hebrew names. They're standing before King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says, "If you don't bow down to me, I'm going to throw you in this furnace." Their response, "Even if God doesn't save us, we'll never bow to you." Even if. What if that was our mentality? Even if God doesn't save me, I'm never going to bow to fear. I'm never going to bow to anxiety. I'm never going to bow to depression. I'm never going to bow to greed. I'm never going to bow. I'm never going to bow to these idols. I'm never going to bow. About a one king in King Jesus. So have you been cultivating a relationship with this Spirit that lives on the inside of you? Have you been developing this? Because he's there. He's there and he wants to talk. He wants to talk. Are you developing that relationship? Are you being led by the Spirit? Are you trying to see things the way the Spirit does? A good litmus test on if you're being led by the Spirit is Galatians 5:22. What fruit is your life bearing? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Is your life bearing that fruit? Man, I need that fruit. I cannot do those things on my own. Golly. A few days ago, 4 a.m, our 4-year-old comes in crying because the pajamas that he's been in the last 8 hours don't seemingly fit anymore. And I think in that moment, it would have been easier to raise the dead. Because I needed the Holy Ghost in that moment. about to wake everybody else up because his pajamas that he's had on don't fit anymore. I need the Holy Spirit in that moment. Parents needed the Holy Spirit when they started having to do homeschooling and they weren't ready for it. You know, what has been coming out of your mouth during this time? That's a good, that reveals us, right? That reveals our hearts. And not in good times, but in bad times. In times of crisis, when pressure is applied, what comes out? Because then you'll see that it's easy to have pseudo fruit. It's easy to have, you know, put on a mask. But you can only take so much pressure till the mask breaks. So what comes out of you when you're pressed? What comes out of you when you're pressed? How have you been behaving these last few weeks? I'm asking you to do a self-evaluation. How's the fruit of the Spirit been showing in your life? Your fruit is always directly related to your root. Where's your roots? Are they Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Are they prayer? Are they the Word of God? Are they godly leaders? Are they godly friends? Are they church? Are those your roots? Because if they are, the fruit of the Spirit will come right out. But are your roots CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC? Netflix, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Because if those are your roots, guess what comes out? Fear, depression, anger, anxiety. I'm not saying that we live with our heads in the sand. We don't know what's going on in the world. I'm just saying you better watch that news with the lens of the Holy Spirit. You sit down and you ask the Lord, help me discern what I need to know. And don't sit there all day. Just find out what's going on, what you need to know, and then move on. And then be sure that you're spending more time in this word than you are watching the news. I see so many sermons, videos, podcasts about overcoming fear, anxiety, depression, overcoming sin issues like lust and anger. We get so inundated with like five steps and five principles and five ways, right? Like, here's five ways to overcome your anger. Here's 10 ways to overcome your anxiety. And I'm not saying those things are bad. Many times they have scripture that go along with those things. That's totally fine. But you just need one thing. You just need one thing, the power of the Holy Spirit. You need one thing, the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. Hello? Not a matter of talk, but a matter of the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Guess where the Spirit of the Lord is? He can make you free. He can make you free from anxiety. He can make you free from depression. He can make you free from fear. He can make you free from pornography. He can make you free from lust, from anger. He can make you free from drugs. He can make you free from all those things. How do I know he can? Because he made me free. There's power in my testimony. Ooh, come on. I saw him make so many people in this room free, and there's power in all of our testimonies. Golly, I'm not there and I haven't arrived. I still need the fullness, especially at 4 a.m. A.W. Tozer said this, the Holy Spirit never enters a man and lets him live like the world. You can be sure of that. His name is Holy Spirit. First name, Holy. He's our helper. He's the one who writes the law of God on our hearts. And when we sin, it grieves him. If we continue to walk in sin, we can actually quench his power in our life. We'll quench his voice where we won't be able to hear him anymore. It's not normal for Christians to walk in sin. His grace is awesome, and you'll still go to heaven, but it's not normal for you to walk in sin your whole life. He came to set us free. Freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. So he helps us. He's our helper. Power to overcome sin. He's freedom from bondage. He connects us to the Father. Romans 8 says that our spirits cry out to his Spirit, Abba, Father. He brings us life. But I want you to know this morning too, is that he also wants to flow out of you. He's in you. He's in you for you, but he wants to flow out of you for everybody around you. He's in you for you, but he wants to flow out of you. He's a river. He's a river. Don't believe me. Okay, John 7. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know about that. John 7, 37 to 39. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those believed in him would later receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But guess what? He's been glorified. I read Acts. He's cut, the Holy Spirit's here, and he didn't leave. He's still here. You are a temple that contains a river of living water. Ezekiel has a vision. Ezekiel chapter 47. He has a vision of a temple. And flowing from the temple in all directions is a mighty river. And everywhere the river goes, it brings life to it. It even says that the river flows into the Dead Sea and makes the Dead Sea fresh water. Woo-hoo! So the deadest part of the world, this river can bring life to. This river that I am a temple, this river that flows out of me, that flows out of my belly, it brings every dead thing to life. It brings every demonic stronghold down and drowns it. Yes, amen. Every need is met by this water. You see in the New Testament, you see guys like Peter, where it says they would lay the sick out so that his shadow would come along and heal people. It wasn't really a shadow. It was the aurora, the glory that was coming off of Peter because he was so full of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Apostle Paul, they would steal his sweat rags and they would go rub it on the sick. Paul was so redeemed that even his nasty sweat was healing people. Come on. We still live in that covenant. Things have not changed. Those things don't cease until Jesus comes back. We can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is always advancing. The kingdom doesn't go backwards. Jesus said the kingdom of God advance, and it's the violent who take it by force. And it's not the violent like, you know, grab your guns and your swords, we're going to go, you know, set up a... That's like, you know, that's not Christianity. What he's talking about is those who get violent about pursuing me, those who will come after me, who will get serious about this, the kingdom of God is going to advance in your life, and it's going to advance everywhere that you go. Come on. And you don't have to be like a great, you don't have to understand everything. You don't have to be a great theologian. You don't have to have everything figured out. Man, I don't have anything figured out, and I'm a Bible nerd. I study this thing all the time. I love it so much. It's incredible. There's so much to get after, but you don't have to be a school, you don't have to have a PhD. Acts 4:13, they saw that Peter and John were normal, ordinary, uneducated men, but that they had been with Jesus. Can people tell that you have been with Jesus? Heard an old song the other day. It was like a bluegrass Christian song. I love it. One of the lines said, "You don't have to go to seminary, you just have to go to Calvary." You don't have to go to seminary, you just got to go to the cross. Don't feel like you have to tell everyone everything about God. Just give them an encounter with God. And many times, if your roots are in him, the fruit of your life will be an encounter. Man, you'll have patience that people won't understand. You'll have joy that's indescribable. And you'll walk in power. You'll walk in power. Something is wrong if the life of Christians makes sense to the world. Our life shouldn't make sense to the world. I'll start wrapping this up. Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled is a continual filling. It's not a filled one time. I'm not a grammar major, but it's like perfect, progressive. I don't know what it is. Anyway, Miss Angela, you can help him out later. You know what I mean, though. It's a continual filling is what Paul was talking about. It's what the Greek word meant there that he wrote. It's a continual filling. And I love that he contrasts it with being drunk. Don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Drunk people don't stay drunk. They sober up. They sober up. You know, looking at me like, I've never been drunk. Y'all are so holy. Don't be drunk with wine. People don't stay drunk. Listen, the Holy Spirit stays in you, but you don't stay filled. You don't stay filled. He stays in you, but you don't stay full. God created us where we would be dependent on him. Why? Because he's jealous for you. Because he loves you. He wants you to pursue him. He wants you to come after him. Be filled. How do I get filled? Prayer. Worship. Word. You get in that secret place and you close the door and you lift your eyes to heaven and you ask him to come fill you. And then what Paul was talking about, we have the privilege of communing with our God all day long. All day long, we can have relationship with him. You can pray at any time. You can talk to him at any time. Yeah, I'll be driving down the road with my boys and I'll just start praying in the Spirit. It's just normal for them. They just, all the time, we have relationship with him. We have access to him. Well, people are going to look at me like I'm a weirdo. I mean, welcome to following Jesus. Y'all really need to watch that show, The Chosen. Because those dudes for sure look like weirdos. Man, I cried every episode. We're a peculiar people. That's what the New Testament calls it. Peter, I think. We're a peculiar people. We're a holy priesthood. We're supposed to priest before the Lord. We're Levites. We come from the Zadok priesthood. Priest before the Lord. Always in relationship with him. Always can be filled by him. I love this line. I think Christine Kane said it. She said, Christians don't burn out because of what they do for God. They burn out because of what they stop doing. Jesus kept talking about this light, right? You're a city on a hill. There's a light. You can't hide it. There's a light. There's a light. There's a light. There's a light. He wasn't talking about electricity. They didn't have electricity back then. He was talking about a fire. That was their light, was fires, was candles. You need to throw another log on the fire. You got to keep that thing burning. We're called to tend the flame, to fan into flame this relationship that we have. Turn to Luke chapter 11. I don't know if this is encouraging you, but it is encouraging me. I just wanted to build our faith this morning. Luke chapter 11. Let's start in verse 9. Verse 9. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's it. There's a greater measure available for everybody. There's a greater measure. Romans 8 said that says that we are predestined to be transformed into the image of Christ. I don't know about you, there's a greater measure for me in that. There's a greater measure for me in that. In Corinthians 3, I believe, says that we're being transformed from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory into the image of Jesus. There's always a greater measure. I don't know everything about the Lord. I don't know everything about the Holy Spirit, but I know this. If you'll ask him, he'll give you more. If you ask him, he'll give you more. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, you better go to Jerusalem and you better wait because you can't do this without him. You better go to Jerusalem, you better wait. And so what's a key that we see here? Sit and wait until he comes. You wait until he fills you. You wait until he moves on you. If you ask for more, he'll come. He'll come and fill you till you overflow. He'll come. There should be such a huge difference in our life in a spirit-filled Christian than unbelievers. And so I want to do something this morning. It's 11:40. Most churches don't get out till noon, so we're good, okay? Tim usually wraps up around now, but he's strong, not long. It's powerful. Sometimes I'm long, but it's not very strong. I want to I want to play a song. And I've got a video, so the words are up there. So, because it's not a song that any of y'all know, they just released it this last week. And so the words will be there for you to sing along with. And if you want to sit, if you want to stand, if you want to kneel. But my prayer is that we would all just ask for greater measure this morning. That we would all ask for the Holy Spirit to come and baptize us in his presence. To come and cover us this morning. To come and fill us with his power. So that we can leave this place and be a river that flows everywhere. And everything that we touch, we would bring life to. And listen, if you got plans, if you need to go, I'd rather you leave happy than stay mad. So totally fine if you need to roll out. And listen, I've got this song and I've got a backup song. And man, if you stay for the backup song, there's this black lady that sings. And woo-hoo-hoo. You talk about anointed, she brings it, buddy. It's so good. And listen, this music may not be your style. It may not be your favorite kind of worship, but we're not worshiping you, so it's okay. And listen, it's a very, I say it in love. It's okay. There are certain types of music that I like better too. I get it. So this may not be your style. You know, these people may not look like the way that you want them to look like. That's okay. They're worshiping Jesus. And this song is real simple. This first one we're playing is real repetitive. They say the same things over and over again. But guess what? There's been angels around in the throne room. They've been singing the same song for 10,000 years. So there's power in simplicity. And this, all this song does, they're just glorifying Jesus is all it is. And I have found that wherever the name of Jesus is lifted up, the Holy Spirit's power is attracted to. Because that is his number one goal, is to glorify the name of Jesus. And so we're going to turn this on. And just wherever you're at, and you just leave as you need to. Totally fine. I'm not trying to pressure anybody to stay. But if you want to stay and ask the Lord for a greater measure this morning, I'm going to do that with my family, and you are definitely welcome to join us.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.